Kia ora and all, welcome back. Winston Peters is with us regularly, and of course New Zealand First are doing reasonably well in the polls, but I dare not touch on that one with our rangatira from Aotearoa Tuatahi. Great to have you with us, Winston. Thanks very much for joining us on the program again. Tēnā koe.
Good morning.
Kia ora. Hey, listen, I was thinking maybe we need an English sign to Whananaki so people don't get lost.
You know something?
What?
In the story of the Mata to a canoe, when they were meeting, when they came, this is the First Nations waka, when they came past a place up north that was leaking, so they went ashore, and in their story, not my story, in their story, they say the local people helped them fix it. Guess who that was? It pulled into Whananaki. That's what the truth of it is. It's all in the Mata to a canoe story. I tell the East Coasters that all the time.
Well, do you think that some travellers could be lost because they'll be confronted with a sign saying Whananaki and they don't know where they are?
Oh, they'll know it in time, mate.
So we're looking for bilingual signage. It doesn't sit too comfortably with you. You think that potholes got to be fixed first, eh? What's your thinking here?
Well, all communication is about understanding. And it's a magnificent thing about Māori language. When I was there in 1980, when the first grants happened for Kangaroa, when Whenakupa first talked to Māori, and people forget what happened back then. And so you're heading on this pathway, and all of a sudden, you're going to have a whole lot of people on the road, and road safety is important. And if they don't understand the sign, it's, about 95% of them, what is the purpose here? Up north, where the potholes are everywhere, we've got 1,000 single-lane bridges. Why don't they put the money into things like that? I think even the Māori people would be much more happy to hear that.
Kia ora. I wanted to touch on this situation, and I know it's not confirmed. Maybe you've got some inside oil here, but I was sort of intrigued when our new Minister for Racing said that he's going to team up with effectively Ladbrokes out of the UK that'll prop up the TAB and also to, I guess, curb the appetite of some to bet online here in New Zealand. You've had some skin in the game here, Winston. Maybe you could talk about it a little. What are the pros and cons of heading down this track?
Well, when you say skin in the game, it's only because I'm interested in the industry for its employment and its wealth creating, and it employs tens of thousands of people, a lot of whom happen to be Māori, like Harris and all those famous Māori jockeys and stable hands and all those people who have worked so well. It's been around for decades. But my point is that the TAB was set up by government statute years ago, and now it's going to be under the control of the UK for the next 25 years. And Entain is the company. They're going to get 50% of the profits. And the figures I saw the minister use when he said it, and I've only had a couple of days, I thought that can't be right. You haven't done your fiscals properly because you're inflating the profits against the fact that there were serious reductions last year. These figures are already $15 million wrong, just in one little sense of looking at them. So I'm very concerned, as again, here we go, taking the wealth in this, this is the betting or gaming wealth of this country, and giving it to another economy. It just doesn't, in my view, at this point in time, there may be some more evidence, but it doesn't stack up.
Do you think there would be any interest in moneyed up Māori tries? Remember, you know, we've got a $70 billion economy, so we're led to believe. And when we look at the situation in the States where First Nations people have set up casinos on their reservations, effectively, very lucrative, and able to use the profits derived from the casino sector to fuel social development programs. I know they haven't got it all right over there. I'm not suggesting that. But if there was a move to get involved, you know, bookmakers seldom lose. And so wouldn't or shouldn't we have, as a people, expected when our treaty obligations and rights to at least be factored in and given a chance to tunnel for a role here if we wanted to, because there might be some ethical opposition to it. I don't know. But I thought, hell, you know, maybe there was some Māori money could be used to prop up the TAB if that's what's needed.
Well, you're not wrong in this context. Mind you, in the First Nations and the States, they are tax exempt, and that's one of the reasons why it's taken off on the reserve, so to speak. Now, come back to this thing. You've raised a fascinating piece of history. Do you remember the Auckland Railway Station was being talked about being sold? Well, a guy called Donald Trump came out to meet Ngāti Whātua, and he wanted to establish a casino at the Auckland Railway Station, and he said at the time, and he's going to learn Māori as well. Do you remember that?
Not really. Not really. No, that one's escaped me. I didn't know that Trump came out here. It would have been a grand-looking casino, but no, I didn't quite pick up on that one at the time.
But my point was, Ngāti Whātua looked at it from that point of view at the time in partnership with Donald Trump, you see what I mean? Now, it didn't happen, but my point is that you're quite right. If gambling is legal, and it is, then make sure that the gambling money profits stay in this country, because we've got gambling mitigation for people who can't, you know, they've become addicted to gambling. And you've got other problems. But whatever's happening here, we're just going to see 50% less going into our economy. And I can't understand why it is that you've got a country like New Zealand that used to be a world leader, with so many of our people being bought off by Australia in the gaming industry. Now, I'm talking about the other gaming, that's creative gaming, so to speak, and it's heading towards $6 billion industry. How it is we couldn't set up our own TAB and run it properly ourselves, it beats me. What on earth's going on?
Wasn't there also a big dosh of money, $500 million, that went to prop it up last time? What happened to that?
Yeah, but this is the middle of COVID, and all industries were being helped through COVID, and we understand that. But we're out of COVID now, and we've hardly got out of there, and I saw this announcement, and I thought, first of all, like everything to do with any world, including the Māori world, let's get behind the figures you're being told and see what they're effect, because often the optimistic figures just don't stack up, and a lot of people, and there's 480 people working TAB, and a lot of them are Māori as well, they are only going to have their jobs guaranteed for the next 2 years. And with the greatest respect, I just wonder why a country, and there was a time when the Labor Party thought in the national interest as well. If you go back to the great Labor Party of 35 to 49, they were serious nationalists, and so was National. Now we're just globalists, and we don't understand that every time you do anything, if you get the added value for your economy benefits. If the added value goes to some other economy, then we are just making money for foreigners and not ourselves. It doesn't make sense in my view.
Let's talk about the budget for a moment, please. And I note that you say, since when do they think, and I'm assuming you're talking about Robertson and his crew, the Labor Party, have the authority to spend millions of taxpayer dollars and use it to ram their cultural re-engineering program down our throats. Can you speak to that for a moment, please?
I most certainly can. You know something? I was talking to somebody the other day, which we were engaged a long time ago, in the establishment of Māori radio stations around the country and a whole lot of enterprises like that. And the Māori television as well. And the purpose of it was to ensure that there was this original Māori voice in our media. That was all done. But all of a sudden now, I go on TV One or Radio New Zealand, and that's radio generally for everybody out there, not Māori radio, so to speak. And they've got all sorts of people who are even reading the weather forecast out, so that 95% of the people don't know what part of the country they're talking about the weather forecast for. Why don't they actually spend money on specific Māori purposes rather than this woke virtue signaling stuff? That's my point. Meanwhile, Māori homelessness is getting far worse, Māori health is far worse, Māori educational performance is far worse, and we're at the bottom of the heap on first world wages. Why don't we focus on the thing that always used to drive great Māori political thinking?
Kia ora. The stage is yours for a moment too, because we haven't spoken since the budget announcements. Anyone who thought that that your party wasn't going to be a player come October has had cause to think again, because, and I know you don't like talking about polls, but I drifted into it when I spoke with Shane earlier this week. We won't bother going down that path too much, but you've got every right to comment on what happened last week in the budget, the good, the bad and the ugly from Winston Peters, please.
Well, Well, the sad thing was, we're just spending more than we're earning. Every household, every part of that house handles the household, probably the only woman in the Maori world, as women do a lot of the work, nearly all the work, actually. They will know what I'm saying. If you spend more than you bring in, you're going to go broke. And our country is doing dramatically that. We're spending far more than we're bringing in, and some of the circumstances are the worst since 1972. That's a long, long way back when you look at it. So the budget basically had all these promises from a minister in terms of Robinson, who said last year he had no more money to spend. It's election year, and then he starts doing certain things. Now, I'm not against the prescription charges going, but it's going for everybody. And the reality of it all is he's doing it far too late, because an Australian-owned operation, Chemist Warehouse, has come and got rid of so many of our industries, so that the health money now is going off to the Australian shareholder. There's just we wrote to him for 2 years trying to get him to change that, or rather him and the guy called Clark, who was the then Minister of Education. But my point is, it's going to everybody, and instead of being fine-tuned to those who are sick or those who do desperately need it. And it's the point that all that was virtually undone yesterday when the Governor of the Reserve Bank just told you your interest rates are going up. So on the one hand, instead of doing what they should have been doing, cutting back and staying with the essentials, they had a election year lolly scramble, so to speak, with a few things that they thought they could afford and some they know they can't. And we're left, the people of this country, with paying the price. And your listeners are going to be the ones who pay the highest price, because they have so much, they have so little discretionary spending. That's money that is spent on things that are non-essentials. When people in your and our listenership are spending at the supermarket, they're spending because they have to spend, even down to their last dollar. That's a sad thing. And so from the point of view of what I call the Labor Party base voter numbers, a whole lot of working class people are worse off here, big time.
Dinako, and just finally, I noticed that Willie Jackson's put your image on his Facebook page of you two standing together at the opening of the Matawi Dam up there in Kaikohe. Were you tempted to push him in?
Look, you know what? We were there to celebrate something the Provincial Growth Fund started 3 years ago. Not Willie, not the Labor Party, but New Zealand First and Shane Jones. We're there to celebrate now that Kaikohe is going to assure of having water no matter what, and that 150 hectares of new horticulture can be get guaranteed the water supply. This is tremendous, and we're building one eight times bigger near Dargaville and Red Hills as we speak. So at that moment, you're celebrating success, and Willie and the other four cabinet ministers, or ministers from the Labor Party who are there, had to recognise who put in the mahi here, so to speak, if you want to use a Maori word, and made sure that it had the pūtea as well.
Good on you, Winston. Okay, thanks very much. Looking forward to the battle later in the year, and thanks for your cordial today. Yummy.
Thank you.
Kia ora. Cheers.